Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupo, StoneParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, it has been so busy. I have not had a chance to do my usual verse-by-verse Bible studies or teachings, but I took the time today after a street preach we did. We've been street preaching almost every day, multiple things, multiple events. We're going to get back to Philippians 2. We're working through Philippians verse-by-verse. We're in Philippians 2, 16 through 20. Go look at don'tperish.com, go look at the verse-by-verse tab, and you can catch up to all the other verse-by-verses I've done. Today, let's go through Philippians 2, 16 through 20. This is going to bless you. Ready? Here we go. Verse 16, Brother Paul says, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Okay, really important verse here. He says, holding forth. Here's what this means. Holding forth. Hold upon. That is to retain, to pay attention to heed to have a hold upon, to observe, to apply, to give attention to bring forth, to present, to delay, to stop, to stay. Basically, he's talking about, he's lifting up the word of God, okay? And we're going to find out what he's lifting up, the word of life. Well, this is Jesus Christ. He is the Word made flesh, John 1. And Jesus is life himself to us. John 14, 6, he's the way, the truth, and the life. John 6, 68 says this, "And then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." I love that. All the other disciples were leaving Jesus, and he said, "You going too?" And he said, "You hold the words of eternal life." So, holding forth the words of life, that's Jesus Christ. It's preaching, teaching the gospel, making disciples. That's what Brother Paul is talking about here. And then he says that he may rejoice in the day of Christ. I believe he's talking about this would be Christ's return, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord. And then he says, then he talks about how he can rejoice. Now, I have a question. Is this automatic that Paul can rejoice and remain in the Lord and hold forth the word of the Lord? Or does Paul have something to do? I think this verse is showing us that all of us, including Apostle Paul, have things to do. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1. He says, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord?" See, Paul worked. He didn't work for his salvation. Our salvation is in Christ. But because of Christ, we're laboring for him. We're working in the ministry, in our faith life, in the body, in our studies, in preaching the gospel. So that's what Paul's talking about in this first verse. He's working. He's holding forth the word of life. That's the proof and the fruit of his faith. Jesus talked about fruit in John 15. We can't just say we have a faith and not have fruit. Jesus said you will have much fruit. And Paul tells us what's on the line here. This is all a big battle about faith alone, grace alone that doesn't exist. And this is the battle for faith with works to prove your faith and your saving knowledge and the Spirit of God in you. What is Paul laboring for? He says he labored, lest he run in vain. Vain, that means kenos in the Greek, empty, void of no purpose. So what Paul is saying is, unless he's in Christ and doing these labors for the Lord, it's in vain. Faith without works is dead, as Brother James says. And if we look at 1 Corinthians 15:2. Hopefully my voice is going to hold out. It's pretty hoarse from preaching. 1 Corinthians 15:2, the famous gospel verse or the area of scripture. Paul uses the same type of word. "By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you believed in vain." Little different Greek word means the same thing. Paul is saying, unless we cling to our faith, unless we're striving in the Lord, we have fruit that we're of him, we're walking in holiness and obedience, it's all going to be in vain. See, we don't believe in once saved, always saved. We believe that you must strive and endure in holiness and obedience. That's what Jesus taught, Paul taught. everyone in the Bible taught, Old Testament, New Testament. So clearly you see that Paul is running and he's laboring and he's working in Christ. Can't work to make our salvation work. We work in Christ because he gives us salvation, right? And so what that means is you need to look at the opposite side. If Paul's running so it's not in vain, that means your faith could be in vain. Think about that. That means it's possible for your faith to be in vain, to not have fruit, makes it vain. Again, go read James 2. James teaches about faith and works and how one is dead without the other. Jesus used the same type of word, Mark 7, verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. This Greek word is maton, but it means the same thing, folly, no purpose, fruitless. See, faith and works. If we have faith in Christ who is the truth, we're going to worship and serve him in truth. If we have faith in Christ who is the truth and we worship in a bunch of lies and sin and worldliness and carnality, it's in vain. Faith and works. You see the pattern here. It's all over Scripture. Go back and read that verse again and see Paul is talking about not being in vain. This is the same man that said, lest I be a reprobate, let me examine myself. Let me work out my faith with fear and trembling. Yeah, same man. Verse 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. All right, so in this verse, Paul says, if I be offered upon. I like this. This, if you look at the Greek, you know what it means? It means to be poured out. So you're like a full vessel, and all of a sudden you're like poured out. Paul means that he is like worked hard, he's labored, he's poured himself out for people. Do you ever feel that way with somebody that you've helped? You feel like you poured yourself out to do everything you could for them. I think that's what Paul is talking about here. Poured out means spent, or offered up means poured out or spent. And he's in active service to others, and he's talking about he's joyous about it. Paul was a great, great example to us, as was Jesus, the greatest example of being what? A servant, a doulos, not self-serving or self-seeking. That's what we see most all in Christian leaders and Christian people today. No, being a servant, putting his master's desires above his own. Paul told us in Romans 12 that we're to be a living sacrifice. That's our service to Christ and service to each other. But then we also know that Paul's in prison, possibility of a death sentence, so he figured he might end up being sacrificing his whole life for the cause of Christ. What a glorious thing to sacrifice for, whether you're a living sacrifice or you're dying as a martyr for Christ, unto God, unto the body. Sacrifice, that word in the Greek, thusia. You know what it means? A victim. Yeah, Jesus was a sacrifice for us. He was a victim. Paul was saying to be a living sacrifice. We're victims for Christ. We're living sacrifice and for each other. And for the world, because we preach the gospel to them. And Jesus, you know this verse, John 15, 39, he talked about no greater love than a man give his life for another, right? So this service, this living service, this sacrifice, Paul is talking about that if I be offered up a sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice with you all. Paul was happy about that, pouring himself out for Christ, and for the body of Christ. Verse 18. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So Paul is talking about the same cause. They're all about the cause of Christ. The gospel. The word of God. The spirit of God. The son of God. And this is beautiful. Paul would be in one mind with those people in Philippi. Why? Because what did Paul teach in Corinthians? Paul taught the same thing to all the same bodies. He didn't teach different things to different bodies. What did he teach about unity in the body? 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. Does that sound like a lot of different doctrine, different denominations, different beliefs? No. It means what it says. It says what it means. Go read 1 Corinthians 1:10 and go ponder on that. Today there's 40,000 different denominations, all different kinds of other cult groups. Nobody has truth or doctrinal unity. Why? They don't believe it's possible. They don't study the word. They all want to compromise so they have numbers and fellowship. And guess what? Satan has done a great, great job at all of this false theology and compromise. Paul knew that these people in Philippi felt the same way about the faith and the doctrines and sacrifice and even dying for Christ. He had trained them. He had discipled them. What a beautiful thing to think about people knit together by the Spirit, the Word, and the doctrines and serving Christ and each other. I know a few saints that I'm united to in that way, a tiny handful of saints. Just like Jesus said, few there be, a puny number. And in my case, they're scattered all over the world because I travel and preach all over. I'm not in one place. But I'll tell you what I don't know. I don't know any one place in America in a building where there's a whole bunch of saints all striving in this unity in the gospel the way Paul's talking about. It's long gone. They're all corrupt. Anabaptist, Evangelical Baptist, Martin Luther, Roman Catholic, Lutheranism, non-denominational, Jehovah's Witness Mormon. You men, email me the so-called biblical body that's keeping the gospels come out of the world, keeping all the doctrines of God, doesn't have feminism, doesn't have carnality, doesn't have pagan holidays. You email it to me, and I preach it all the time in the street. We'll go visit them or contact them, and if they're truly that, we'll be their best workers and we'll unite to them. So far, I haven't had to unite to anybody because nobody offers up anybody because they're all afraid because they know the Word of God's going to test them. And the few, puny few that have offered them up, within seconds, you can tell they're not biblical. Baptist, Church of Christ, yada, yada, same old thing, same old thing. So Paul knew this kind of unity, and that's a beautiful thing. It's something we strive for with the saints that we walk with and have fellowship with from long distance or face-to-face when we see them from all over the world. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy, shortly unto you, that I also be of good comfort when I know your state. So remember, Apostle Paul's in prison. He's in confinement. Obviously, he can write letters and get things sent out, but he's in confinement. And I love this. He's concerned for the body in Philippi, and he wants to send young Timothy. We all know the story of Timothy, raised in the Torah law, raised in the scriptures, raised by his mother and his grandmother, godly young man, wise and a leader well beyond his years. We know that about Timothy. And he was one of Paul's closest associates, trusted. 2 Timothy 1:2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Lord, from God the Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul and Timothy had a bond. What a beautiful thing. They were one in the Lord, in doctrine, serving him. And what we're about to see is really important in this last verse, is how vital Timothy was to Paul and how rare he was. And if he was rare then as a biblical leader, you can imagine what is rare today. Verse 20, get this. Paul says, for I have no man like-minded, talking about Timothy, who will naturally care for your state. Wow. Paul makes this amazing statement. And I think we got to think this through. He has not another man that's like-minded like Timothy that will go and care for those saints. Ponder this. What does this mean? This means that he doesn't have another man that can lead and be an example and teach and take care and put things in order like he was sending Timothy to do in different places. In this day and age, today, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of churches and millions of so-called Christians and hundreds of thousands of leaders probably. And by their fruit in today's culture, they're false converts. They're goats. I see him every day in the street. Met a couple today, lady pastors included. So we have to realize that true saints were rare way back then. But guess what? We're going to get to a verse where Paul says there's going to come a falling away in a time when they won't endure sound doctrine. They're going to be more rare today with all the deception. And so Paul is saying something very interesting that we need to take a hold of here. You know, we got to think of this. You might think of Paul was a man that had like hundreds and thousands of helpers and leaders and godly men all around him. That's just not so. It's not. Look at this verse from 2 Timothy 4:16-17. Paul says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray to God that it may be not be laid upon their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me preaching might be fully known, and all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Yeah, Paul said no man stood with him. Here's the point I'm trying to make. There was very few saints back then. We'll get to what history says. And even fewer godly leaders that Paul could trust in. And we got to ponder that. And today, it's going to be even fewer. We're in the falling away. We're in the thousands of 40,000 denominations. We're in the corruption mingled with the world, pagan holidays. Back then, Apostle Paul had a few heresies to deal with. Today, we got 40,000 denominations and hundreds of heresies, probably thousands. Yeah. And so, again, the point is there's few back then. There's going to be even fewer today. And here's what I want to get to. History. Now, history says, we don't know this from the Bible, but history talks about, like I read an article, whether we can trust it or not, I'm just throwing it out there, we can't be dogmatic, but it talks about that the evidence they have that the body in Rome, it wasn't 1,000 people. It wasn't 500 people. It wasn't a couple hundred people. I have read where some historians, biblical scholars have said it might have been 50 people because they fit in one house. Think about that. Think about that. So these bodies, it's not like we see today hundreds and thousands crammed in a building. We saw 3,000 born in Acts 2, but they were all from all over the world, and then they spread out and went back home. Jesus had 120 in the upper room. And so we got to think about that. Paul says this, 2 Thess 2 and 3, let no man deceive you by any means, that for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and then the Son of Man, or that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, not the son of man, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And then Paul talks about the falling away there. Go read 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4. Paul talks about in the last days, that's what we're in today, people are going to leave sound doctrine, they're going to have itchy ears, there's going to be less of them, they have the appearance of godliness, but they're going to be truce breakers, unholy, ungodly, unthankful, all those things. Go read 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 4. So Paul paints a terrible picture, and Paul even said, as soon as I leave, ravenous wolves are going to come in. That's what happened. As soon as Paul left, by the 2nd and 3rd century, there was heresy that led to the Roman Catholic Church, that went to the Dark Ages, that led to evangelicalism, Anabaptism, led to Protestantism, led to all these denominations, non-denominations, Lutheranism. None of this is of God. Not one of these are of God. They're all made of man. And Paul said it would happen. So I just want you to go back and read that verse again. Is it verse 20? For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul was concerned about the people in Philippi. He only had Timothy to go and that he trusts to take care, teach, edify, stand up for sound doctrine, all these things I can only assume that Paul's talking about because that's what Paul stood up for. So think about that. Back then, the body of Christ is new. Yeah, it's growing. I get it. It's growing. And they didn't have the corruption and perversion we have today. And Paul did not have a lot of help with him at times. So why I'm telling you this, I want to encourage you. If you're a saint and you're cut off somewhere in a country or state or a town where you have no other saints, Paul knew your plight. Hold fast. Redemption's on the way. If you're striving and you look around you and you go, where are all the true believers? Oh, God's got his 7,000 like he told the prophet in the Old Testament. They haven't bent their knee to Baal, but they're scattered. We know that. We see saints scattered all over the world. I don't know any in a building. I know individual people striving in truth and holiness all over the world. I don't even know a biblical house church in America. I don't. Name me one. If you can name me one, I'll go visit it. Nobody ever names it because they know it's going to get tested and they won't repent of their sin because I've never found one. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't one. I just said I don't know of one. But Paul says, Jesus said, there'll be few. There'll be a great falling away. So that verse tells us, Paul at times did not have help. Paul did not have lots of men that he could rely on. Brother Paul was not surrounded. He didn't have the ease of a bunch of godly, mature leaders. So men, women, as you're striving for Christ, take heart to that. Don't be discouraged. You're one of the elect. You're one of the ecclesia, however you want to say it, the called out ones. Hold fast. Be a Noah in your generation. Noah had to stand. The prophets had to stand alone. Noah stood. We don't know if Noah's family was believers. Noah had to stand. The prophets had to stand. We're seeing Paul had to stand. Jonah had to stand. Other people had to stand. So do you and I have to stand. That's why it's so important. Last point. If you know some godly true saints that have come out of the world, come out of churchianity, they've stripped their lives down, pride, vanity, they've come out of the culture, they're walking in the biblical gospel and sound doctrine, and you know them, you got to cling to them, meaning encourage them, edify them, exhort them, reach out to them, encourage them, all those things. If they're not face-to-face, we got email, we got letters, we got video calls. Hebrews 3:13, exhort each other daily, lest the deceitfulness of sin overtake you. So think about all those things and think about what Brother Paul went through in jail, only having Timothy to rely on as he's striving for the things of God. Boy, can I relate to Brother Paul, because so many times I look around and go, where is everybody? And then my godly wife always says, God has them where they are, honey. And I go, you're right. And she said, we know some. And I said, you're right. And it's just when you do what I do, you're in the street every day. Today we saw thousands of people, hundreds claiming to be Christians, churchianity, denominational Christians, far from the truth of God, don't care about holiness and sound doctrine, love the things of the world more than they love the doctrines of God. And it makes you scratch your head and go, huh? But when we read the Bible, that's exactly what the Word of God tells us will be in the last days. When I really get my senses about me and I go to the Scripture and I don't walk, I don't know if it's flesh or if it's just a little righteous anger, but when I don't walk in those things that are outside of Scripture, because I get mad, people claiming Jesus, trampling his blood, we see it in the streets, lady pastors, churches inviting atheists in to play music to God, inviting sodomites in, telling people once saved, always saved, teaching people all kinds of heresy. I get a lot of righteous anger, but when I go to the Scriptures and I just read it and I go, yep, my Savior told me it would be so. Yep, you're going to be a hated street preacher. Yep, there's going to be very few of you. Yep, there's going to be massive deception, false teachers everywhere. You know what it actually does? It actually bolsters my faith and makes me even stronger. Like Peter talked about, all our trials and tribulations make us stronger if we do it the right way and we bring it around. Yeah, we can get frustrated. We can get in the flesh. We can get righteous anger, but then we bring it around to the Word of God and ask the Spirit to teach us, and all of a sudden we go, this is exactly what the Word of God said it would be in the last day. So that's my edification to you today. We'll come back again, and we'll be keep working on Philippians 2, and we're going to finish up that book one of these days, and then we're going to continue on. We're going to grab another book. One of these days, we're going to get into the Old Testament, but I think we'll keep going in the New Testament for now. I hope you're enjoying these verse by verses, trying to give you lots of things to pull together to paint a picture. Brother Paul, what a laborer, laboring from prison. You think you got it bad. Sometimes I think I got it bad. He's in prison, writing and encouraging. He's joyful about it. He may lose his life. He's only got one guy he can count on. Yet he is rejoicing in the Lord. What a great example to us. I want to be that kind of example as well. I'm out of here. Love you all. Let me know I can help you in the faith. Go to our daily edification audio. We put up videos, street preaching videos, and we do an audio every day to edify you. I got to go meet Sister Amen back in the van, and we're going to do our audio for tonight. We really enjoy doing them. Helps us recap our day. Brings out a lot of good theological points, and people tell us that they enjoy them. So, love you all. Check out our resources. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. We're cruising down the gospel road. Oh, we got an event coming up this weekend. Yeah, we'll be talking about that. I'm looking forward. Been looking forward to this one all summer long. More to come on that. Go out. Seek the kingdom. May God be praised.